welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Amen. Well, we've been speaking over the past few weeks. If you remember, 3 weeks ago, Pastor led us in an exciting kind of Deuteronomy-style highlights of church history. Deuteronomy, when you read the book of Deuteronomy, it's basically the highlights of, you know, going from Genesis and through all the way through. It's like sitting down and you haven't quite caught the football match and you stick the highlights on. It's all the best bits. And that's what Deuteronomy is. And Pastor kind of gave us a kind of glimpse of God taking us through from even 30, 40 years ago, right up to present. Miracles, things that you and I could easily forget, but God has been so faithful. And when we look back at those things, we were amazed that God did that through us. And that's why the Bible says that when God blesses you, you know, place a memorial there. Never remove it, because if he will bless you like that then, how much more can he still bless you now? And God is not dried up. He has not emptied his resources. So if you need answered prayers this morning, if there are areas in your life, your family's life, your work life, every aspect of your life and those around you, God's resources have not dried up. And it's just about understanding that God shows us in his word how to have that release through our prayers and through our actions. Always. There may be times of delay. There may be periods of waiting. There may be instant miracles. There may be times when God provides. But when you see how God provides, it's actually so simple. And I want to share that with you this morning. So put up your hand if you would like to see more answered prayer in your life, say. More breakthroughs in prayer. I am my hands up, because there is always, always going to be needs. You may say this morning, well, I'm okay. I don't really have that many needs now. Well, think again, because you're surrounded in life by need. It's not necessarily your need, but you're surrounded by need. So I have called this message this morning, and it'll become clear what it means. We've probably all heard the phrase, it's not you, it's me. Who's heard that before? Hopefully not too many. Not too many times. But this message this morning is called, it's not me, it's you. That's the principle of the release of God. So we don't have words. We're going to look through this very quickly. I'm just going to turn to the Sermon on the Mount. And it amazed me when I went back to the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus, his first major sermon. And in that, he kind of declared before everybody what he was here for, what he was about. He didn't hide it under a bushel. He stood on a mountain and he told everybody the principles of the kingdom, kingdom life. And we've been speaking, and last week, Carol was talking about anxiety and fear and not letting that stop us. Before that, I was talking about having that increased mentality moving forward, how God has created your body, like even your DNA. If you were to put your DNA and put the strands of it, even though they're microscopic, together, end to end, you would have billions of miles of DNA in your body. You could go around, your DNA alone can go around this earth 2,500 times. It's amazing. And that God has put that kind of creativity and increase in you. What about in all of us? What about his church? And it kind of gives you an understanding of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, it's all about the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Something about the kingdom. There's something about seeking first the kingdom, not your desires, but the kingdom. And all of these things will be added unto you. It amazed me when I went back and I read the Sermon on the Mount again. In Matthew, it spans three chapters. Sometimes we think of the Beatitudes as being the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed. And then it's over, and then Jesus is on. But the Sermon on the Mount, it lasted three chapters in Matthew, and that's just the notes. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, you'll find it. A more condensed version you'll find in Luke chapter 6, Sermon on the Mount. But in the Sermon on the Mount, all of those, so many of those famous scriptures are in it. How many knew that in the Sermon on the Mount, that's where you find the Lord's Prayer? Right then. In the Sermon on the Mount, we know that's where you find the Beatitudes. In the Sermon on the Mount, that's where you find that scripture that I just quoted you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added unto you. And I love the principles that it exposes. So I'm just going to start off with that, and we're going to be very brief this morning. So Matthew chapter 5, if you have your Bibles, you could turn there. It's the beginning, the very first verse of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Jesus goes straight in, no messing around, straight in. It's all about the kingdom, because when we see Jesus, the first thing we saw was he went around preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. We think Jesus went around preaching the gospel of salvation. We think Jesus went around being good. Jesus, from the beginning of his ministry, tells us, as soon as he left the wilderness being tempted by the devil, he went straight about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And again, the Sermon on the Mount, the very first verse, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom, there's something about the kingdom. We're now ready to build our sanctuary again. We're in an exciting phase of it as a church, because it's all about building, and God is a builder. God builds big. God is building his church, but all of that is contained within the kingdom. And as we understand what the kingdom is and how we act in building the kingdom, that one thing releases everything in your life. So blessed are the poor in spirit, for there's the kingdom of God. I remember pastor speaking on this long time ago when Angie was a lot younger and I was probably about 15. And he went through the Beatitudes, and he took every week, he just took one of those verses. And this particular verse is starting, blessed are the poor in spirit. What does that mean? It simply means those who are humble and put others before themselves. So those that are humble, it's not about you. Those that are humble put others before themselves. That's why I called this sermon this morning, it's not me, it's you. And if we all have that mentality in our prayer life, in our deeds, in our daily motivation, when we get up in the morning, our thought isn't for how am I going to be blessed today? My thought is, how are you going to be blessed today? How is my spouse going to be blessed today? How are my family going to be blessed today? How are my friends and loved ones going to be blessed today? My thinking for myself has to be last. You see, it's not me, it's you. That is the truth of the kingdom of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. I'm just going to run through the rest of this. When you then go through the whole teaching, it is all about how you treat others. The gospel, the Sermon on the Mount is all about praying for others, blessing others. Nowhere do you see yourself. Nowhere is I found in the Sermon on the Mount. It is all about helping your neighbor. It's all about forgiving those that revile you, praying for those that despitefully use you. It's going the second mile for someone. If anybody wants your coat, your cloak, if anyone wants your tunic, give them your cloak also. It's about giving yourself away, giving to others, blessing others. That is the simple key to release of your prayers. Because God promises in his word that as we focus on others, God focuses on us. God releases our prayers. It is not me, it's you. And we find it all through. It's amazing. And we come then, let me just move quickly forward. Let's talk about the Lord's Prayer. It was only when I was looking at this again, I went back to the Lord's Prayer, I realized there's no I in the Lord's Prayer. How many of you have interpreted in your mind the Lord's Prayer like this? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give me this day my daily bread. Forgive my debts as I forgive others. And lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. How many have actually interpreted in your brain the Lord's Prayer that is actually about you? Nowhere in the Lord's Prayer is the word I. It's all about others. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. In other words, if you don't make it, neither am I. If you can't move on this next mile, neither will I. If you can't carry that burden, I'm not going anywhere else until I help you carry that burden. If you don't have bread on your table, I won't have bread on mine. Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. And that is the Sermon on the Mount. It is all about you, and last about me. The prayer of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but yours be done. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is where there's a king. We've heard this before. It's simply where God is the king. He has a territory that is constantly moving forward and expanding. And in it is the prize jewel of his heart and everything. It's people, citizens. And as we go and we bless each other, as we take the gospel, the Great Commission is all about that. Go into all the earth. Take the territory, expand the borders of the kingdom of God, and bring the good news of God's love, blessing, and provision to others. And lay down your life, even if you have to do it. Because it's not about me. It's about you. It's not about you. It's about them. And as you simply do that, all of your needs as well are answered. Isn't that awesome? So often we then go, we strive in life after our needs. We pray for ourselves. We run after this and that because we think that by spending more time at work, it means I'm going to put more food on the table for my family and I'm going to have lasting treasures in the bank and nothing's going to be able to touch that. Yet Jesus told us again in this whole discourse, don't lay up treasures on earth. It's the Sermon on the Mount where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. But lay up treasures in heaven. In other words, in the kingdom where nothing can take it away. Because as you focus on you, yeah, you'll go to the gym and your body will start to take a bit of shape and you'll go to work and your bank account might take a bit of shape or whatever. But there's coming an hour that you know not where the thief will break in, will steal it. Tragedy will come to your life. Disappointment will come. Heartache will come. Because you have done it all wrong from the beginning. You have focused on you. And we think that that is the key to answered prayer. It's not about me. It's about you. The promise of the scripture this morning is as you focus on your neighbor, as you love your neighbor as yourself, as you focus on him or her, there is a promise that your life will be provided for, will be secure. Nothing will be able to take it away. Yes, you'll still have to face the trials of life, but you will be secure, safe. All of your rewards, nothing can strip you of your rewards. And your rewards are not only in heaven when we get there, your rewards are on earth while we're here, taking possession, expanding the borders of the kingdom, and blessing others. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that so simple? That's what it's all about. That's why 2 Chronicles 7:14, that famous scripture, everybody remember what that says? It's where Solomon was king, Israel came and they built the temple, and Israel were repenting. It was that famous scripture which says, if my people humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways. Put up your hands if you know that scripture. Yeah. He says, then I'll heal their land. But it starts with, if my people humble themselves. Just the same verse of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. In other words, when we humble ourselves, we take the I and we put it last. And we start going out and putting each other first. Now, every time you read any scripture you read, now you see that if we put each other first, that's where the release of our desires comes from. That's where the release of your prayers come from. That's where the blessing in the kingdom is. If my people humble themselves, it's not me, it's you. I want to just very quickly take you to a passage in the Old Testament. I believe as a church we're in a Joshua moment again. We're in a time of moving in and possessing the land, the promises of God over the church. We find ourselves kind of in that phase. And Joshua chapter 1, again, a powerful example of this and how the scripture from cover to cover shows us that it's not about me, it's you. And how simple that is. Just do that. My encouragement to you this morning, if there is prayer that needs answered in your life, try this. Forget about your need for a minute, for a day, for a week, for a month. Focus only on the needs of others around you. You'll know them because God will put them in your life. There are people in your life whose needs you need to focus on that I can never reach. I don't know them. That's what you have to focus on. In my life, there's people around me that I can reach that you don't need to focus on. You will know them when you see them. They're all around you. If you need breakthrough in your life, if you need a miracle in your life, whatever it is, from the smallest thing to the greatest thing, leave your desire aside and make it your first objective every day to meet the needs of somebody else through faith. Bless them with the love of Jesus. Be Jesus to them, his arms, his hands, his feet. Use kind words, build them up, spend time, love them, bless them, give to them. Watch what happens so quickly. Joshua chapter 1. I think, again, this was amazing when I read it. It's right in the first chapter of Joshua. And every time I've read this, I've kind of read over it, glanced over it, and missed it. And what an analogy. I look at Joshua. I look at what the conquest and the campaign that the children of Israel going in to repossess the land was. It's exactly the same analogy as the Great Commission. Go into all the earth. Take the gospel. The scripture, the Old Testament, the New Testament, it all agrees, and we are in the center of that story. And you all know the story. This is where Joshua now was commanded by God to take the children of Israel over the River Jordan into the promised land, and in this promised land, there was giants. There were walled cities that the likes of which they hadn't seen before. This was the same land when the spies went into, when Moses sent the 12 spies 10 of them came back. These were the mightiest men of each tribe. And 10 of those men came back and said, "We can't do it. It's hopeless. There's giants in the land, and we're like grasshoppers in our own sight in front of them." And only 2, Joshua and Caleb, said, "Look, with God all things are possible. We can go in now and we can do it." So now this is the same land 40 years later, because God will always bring you back to the same point. He doesn't change his mind. If God has spoken a word over your life, if God has put dreams in your heart and you know it, even if disappointments or disobedience means that you've gone round the mountain again, God will always bring you back to the same point, because he does not change his mind. Here, 40 years later, we find them at the same point, going into the very land that they could have gone into 40 years earlier. And Joshua, the first thing that Joshua speaks himself to the people, he said, first of all, to his leaders, go around the people and tell them to prepare their victuals and get themselves ready, for in 3 days we're going into the camp. But in Joshua 1:12-15, Joshua says an amazing thing, which unlocked the whole thing for me. Again, when I read it, it just agrees with this is the kingdom mentality. Joshua says, "And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word of which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest in this land." These were the tribes that had already received their possession. These were the ones that didn't need to cross over Jordan, because their promised land was right there. All the rest still had to go in and get their promise. But he was speaking to the ones that already had their promise. They were standing on their promise. They were in their promise. And I think this is amazing, because there's those people standing in their promise. And think of it. Imagine you were them, or you were part of the other group, the majority that still had to go in. Well, they had to cross over Jordan, and their promise was hidden behind walled cities where giants dwelt, and they had to go in and fight for it. And what's fair about that? These poor people were going to have to cross over and wage war, of which scared the life out of 10 of the previous spies. And this small group of people, maybe the ones that had their blessing, they can just stand, they can stay over here on Jordan and just enjoy all that. What is fair about that, God? And it's like the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. Some went in the morning, some were hired in the lunchtime, some were hired in the afternoon, some were hired in the evening. All received the same wages. What's fair about that, God? Our brains can't understand it until we realize that it's not about me. It's about you. If I can't help you into your inheritance, I will never enjoy mine. So what God said through Joshua to these people, he says, look, you guys, you're already in. We're here now. Your possession is here. It's not over Jordan. But let your wives stay here. All of you men, he said, all of you men, verse 14, your wives, your little ones, your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you in this side of Jordan. But you, speaking to the men and the men that should go in at that time and take possession, but this is speaking to all of us, you shall pass over first ahead of your brethren, all your mighty men of valor, and you will help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord is giving them. Then, after that, you will return to your possession and enjoy it. Isn't that amazing? So in other words, they not only, because they received, they were the first to receive their possession. Reminds me of a famous scripture where it says, the first shall be last, the last shall be first. But they had to actually go over first into the enemy's territory. They left their portion aside, and they went and they put the needs of the others first. They went over first, and only when their brethren had conquered and received did they go and enjoy the kingdom. Blessings for them. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That is, bless every citizen that comes your way. Give to them. Bless the poor. Pray for others. Put them first. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then all of these things will be added to you. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that so easy? And right there in Joshua, right at the start of their conquering of their possession. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Again, this is the Sermon on the Mount. Give, and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. So if you want more answers to your prayers, guess what? Your answers are going to come through other people. Just in the same way as their answers are going to come through you. It's not about me. It's about you. And I think that's beautiful as we come to, as a church, to rebuild our sanctuary, to do what God has called us to do as a church. We can only do this as we love each other, bless each other, esteem others higher than yourself. Put someone else's gifting and ministry before yours. Take the low seat so others can be blessed. Jesus said, if you want to be the greatest, what do you become? The servant of all. Now, this is a message to me this morning. I'm preaching to myself, and I'm encouraging you out of what God is saying to me. But this is a word for you this morning. It is the key to answered prayer. And now, every time we go back to the Sermon on the Mount, that's where God teaches prayer. He says, go, and when you pray, shut the door, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now we understand that when we go and pray, even our private prayers, I am not praying for myself. That's why even in that same scripture, some of you probably saw these over the last few weeks coming on your Bible app, your phone, it said, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And that, the Bible tells us to ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. If I was to go into the secret place, there's not a lot I can pray about if I'm just praying for myself. Okay, Lord, bless me, give me help, thank you for my job, and bless my family, and blah, blah, blah. After 5 minutes, you'll have dried up. Some more selfish people could maybe extend that to half an hour, who knows. But if the Bible talks that we should be constantly in prayer, obviously, there is so much need out there for us to be praying about. It's not me, it's you. In my prayer closet, I should be praying for your needs. We, all of us as Christians, we should be covered in prayer, so covered in prayer by our brothers and sisters that God is just building and blessing and building and blessing and expanding the kingdom. So it's not about me, it's about you. A couple of wee examples from scripture how this principle works. And you'll see how it all connects. I love the story of Rahab. Rahab was in chapter 2 of Joshua. All know Rahab. She was the harlot that lived in Jericho. When the two spies went in, she hid them in her house, protected them. Well, Rahab's prayer and request, when you read it, she says, look, fear of God has come upon all of us. We know that your God is the great God, and just whenever you come in and conquer, I ask you. She didn't say, save me. Nowhere in Rahab's request does she mention herself. She didn't say, when you come, please don't kill me. She said, remember my mother, my father, my loved ones, my family, my household. Her heart was for their rescue. And through their rescue, her name has been written in the Bible right through. She became one of the ancestors to Jesus himself. Laying down your life, your heart's motive for others. It's not me, it's you. The widow at Zarephath. You find it in 1 Kings. And it's whenever the widow, there was a drought in the land. And 1 Kings 17, 7 to 16, the drought meant that the crops had gone and Elijah came and this widow was about to die. And he says, look, can you make me a meal? I'm hungry. And she says, look, I can't because I've nothing left. I've just got a few sticks and I've got enough for one last meal. And I'm going to go in and I'm going to cook for me and my son. And then we're going to die. I'm sorry. And Elijah did the most selfish thing. He asked her to feed him out of her last meal. Doesn't that seem like a selfish thing to us? We should think, well, focus on yourself. Put yourself first. Come on, you're about to die. Just focus on your need. And Elijah was teaching her the principle of the kingdom. Lay down yourself. Put someone else's need first. And you will find the release of breakthrough for your life. So whenever she did that, she baked the cake for Elijah. What happened? There was where the release came. And she had enough food. Miraculously provided in her household until the famine ceased. And she was blessed by putting Elijah's need first. We see it right the way through Scripture. It's not me. It's you. All of those examples, putting other needs first and seeing what happens. Amen. So if you want more release in your life, as we said at the start, it's not me, it's you. There's only one way, one thing to do. Jesus, God is a good God. He's not going to confuse us with theology and all of this. He is so simple. When it comes to the release, one thing, put others first. Put the kingdom of God first. That's what the kingdom of God is. Have any of you wondered what that scripture really meant? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I've grown up in church all my life and it still confused me. Seek first the kingdom of God. Okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to focus on my gift. I'm going to go and I'm going to be the best worship leader I'm going to read the Bible every day. Or seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. And the kingdom of God, it's you. It's them. They're the citizens. And as we build the kingdom together, we're building lives. We're pouring into others. If you seek first the kingdom of God in someone else, bless them. All of these things will be added onto you. I remember, just close with a wee personal example, and we'll pray. I remember, I've told this story before, but again, there's many. But again, I just want to say it as testimony, personal testimony, because we can read it all in the scripture. We can see all those examples of where somebody gave to someone else, put their need first, and God always then blessed them and built. The greatest example being Jesus, laying down his life for you and for me. And receiving, receiving a harvest. I was in Romania. And I've told this story, but again, I was mindful about my last visit there, just with business, and it was a very, very difficult time in my life and in everything. And I needed my needs met. I didn't even have enough money to pay wages. I didn't have enough money to really live on. And many times in my life, it doesn't make me good. I have just had a good example in the pastor and my parents, and you can do the same and more. But the walking by faith literally sometimes is walking by faith. when you are like that widow woman and you do not have another penny in the bank, you do not have another meal to go to. And I know what that's like. And you've got to, you're realizing that there's needs not only in your life, but all around you. And there was a time when I was facing my needs and a great need for other people, like wages and different things. And I was in Romania at this time, and I had my last pennies, which weren't much. But I suppose then, you know, I suppose you could approximately multiply it by five, the currency of what the value would be, the street value would be. And as I was praying, I was walking down the street at night. I would often go out at night and I would pray and I would just seek God. And I was praying for these needs of mine. And I was praying for all of that. God, and it was at that breakthrough moment. I mean, this was like I was needing this the next day. Literally, I was needing this breakthrough the next day. So let this encourage you. And it was a genuine miracle I needed. It was thousands of pounds that I needed. And I had nothing. And I needed it the next day. Or not only me, but others and everything. It was a difficult situation. So I was praying about this. And as I was walking down the street, this would have been about 1 o'clock in the morning. I love going out at night. Many times, great prayer times in my life have happened at night. When there's no distractions. People are in bed, sleeping. And it's just you and God. And that's why the Bible says, shut yourself in the secret place. Go and shut the door. Get away from distractions, wherever that is. And I encourage all of you, find a place somewhere where you can go to. It's your go-to place where you can be alone and you can just pray. Just get into the presence of God. Can you? Anyway, I was walking down up and down the street. It's a beautiful area, and beautiful buildings and cobbled streets. And just somewhere that I would love. It was winter time. It was cold. The snow was on the ground. And perhaps some of you heard that story. Many times when I would be walking and praying that street, there was this wee beggar woman. And she was not only a drunk, you could clearly see that her life was in addiction. She was haggard beyond her years. She probably looked about 80, but she was probably about 50. And she didn't even have anywhere to sleep. Oftentimes when I was there, you'd always see her in the same place at night. And she didn't even lie down. She was so gone and whatever she was on. She was just, there was a wee tiny, probably half roof of a shop front, and there was a wall and her wee bag, and she, that was her bed. She was just propped up like that every time. And I became aware that on my different visits, if I was out praying at night, I'd walk past and, there's that wee lady again. She's in the same place, doing the same thing, and wrecked. And completely, all of her life's possessions would have been there and nothing. And she was, we would call it a tramp. We would call it homeless. We would call it completely destitute. Completely. And as I was praying, God just put that simple thing in my mind, in my heart. And I knew it was God. And I had my last pennies. Now, this wasn't much. With my last pennies, what could I possibly do with, say, this would equate to £20, £40. I can't exactly remember the currency for her. Probably more than most people would have given her out there. But God said, give her. See what's in your pocket, your last seed. Give that to her. Now, I was praying about these thousands of pounds, like over £10,000 that I needed the next day. And God said, see that? Give that to her. And when you give it to her, bless her. Now, I'm not great at Romanian. She was drunk, probably couldn't. And all of the arguments in your mind are, what? God, I need this answer in my life. And you're praying for your answer. And all along, God is just that still small voice is giving you the answer. It's not about me. It's about you. Put others first. So I'd actually gone back to the hotel. I thought I'd rebuked that thought a few times. Thought that's just like stupid. That's just the... And I actually got so convicted in my hotel room. I said, right, God, this is you. So I actually went back out and went down the street. There was the wee lady still there. And I went up to her. And I kind of had to wake her up nearly to put it in her hand. I just took that, I put it in her hand, I looked in her eyes, and it says, God bless you. And I did that as an act of faith, because I knew what I was doing. I knew I was acting on the word of God through faith. It wasn't just a charitable act. I said, God bless you. And I was obeying what God said, just bless her. And that was it, and I walked away. The next day I had to fly back. I was on the flight in the morning, flew back, and I was expecting to arrive back home to just, oh, this great need. And when I arrived back home, I got a phone call from Mania, and they said, guess what? You'll never believe that I actually phoned them. I said, well, what happened with that need? Where are we at now, and what can I do here? And they said, Jonathan, everything's okay. Guess what? Somebody in Romania covered your need. How amazing was that? How exact answer to the word of God was that? Not only, it wasn't covered even by someone in another country. Give and it shall be given unto you. Men shall give back unto you. It came even from Romania, and I still to this day don't know who. I had given to a little beggar woman in Romania. I'd sown that seed of the kingdom, and I had blessed her. And God met my need from the very same place. Oh, it was miraculous. It was awesome. And I learned again a massive lesson back then. If you want answers to your prayer, you have to forget your need. God knows the things that you ask before you ask Him. Sermon on the Mount. Don't use vain repetitions. Go in. Focus on the kingdom. Build the kingdom, which is you and me. Seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen? Isn't that awesome? And it's so, so simple.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.